hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the current guidelines with regards to the conduct of this meeting? Everyone should ensure that their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for the discussion of in-committee items in the agenda. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have on any item of business before the committee this evening. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by leaving.
Sorry, Chair, there's no sound coming through from home now.
If anybody wants to get their... this is Monaghan Road, can you hear us back home?
Yes, loud and clear, thank you.
Yeah, no, that's great, thank you very much. I'll have to go back into the red tape again.
Don't hear right up until your last sentence.
That's good, well, thank you. It means we don't have to go through that again, but again, you're all very welcome. But just regarding the chat, I encourage everybody to use the instant messaging. Type Q for a question, type P if you propose, and type S if you waste a second. So please use that facility. It will make my job up here a lot easier. And then I'd say, and also, but you know, wouldn't refrain from using any other comments. So we'll move on then to apologies. Are there any apologies? Councillor McAvoy, any other apologies that we're aware of? No? But thanks, Sarah. I got word there that there was a recent accident on the Warren Point dual carriageway, and our council staff who were behind the vehicle in question were able to help in relation to the closure. Sorry, boys. In relation to the closure of the road and an emergency service once they were detailed. So I'd like to thank our staff again for being good at helping out in an emergency. So thanks again. So on to agenda item number two, declarations of interest. Is there any declarations of interest in any items? Then failing that, we now progress on to item number three, is the action sheet of the last committee meeting, which was held on the 24th of January. And I'd like to thank Councillor Clark for chairing the meeting when I was away. So we'll go to page 11 of the action sheet, which relates to our last meeting in January. So on page 11, page 12, and page 13, is there any matters arising out of that section of the action sheet? Are members happy enough? And could I have a proposer and seconder in the box, please? Proposed by Councillor McGuinness and seconded by... If somebody can type into the chat. And Councillor Derry Finn is seconded. So thank you very much. So if there's no matters arising, we move on to item number four, and that's a report on a notion of a notice of motion, sorry, about climate change. So I'm going to hand over to Councillor McMurray, who tabled the motion. So you're very welcome, Andy, to the seniors meeting. So if you want to present your motion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Do I need to read it or is it taken as read?
It's taken as read. So
it was read to council.
Everybody read it to council. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, no, the officer's report is quite right to split this into three separate sections. And I shall be brief on the first section regarding this council and the climate emergency. You know, it is settled position of this council that climate breakdown is real and we are in the midst of a climate emergency. So a settled debate, it needs to be restated. Actions on this matter need to be ongoing and updated and targets to be set. Chair, it is concerning that our council ranks 8th out of 11 Northern Ireland councils on climate action scorecards as compiled by Climate Emergency UK. Documented by these scorecards, this council lags behind the Northern Ireland averages for the following, following headings and sections: transport, planning and land use, governance and finance, of which two Northern Ireland councils have made net zero target as part of their corporate plan, as we should as well, biodiversity and collaboration and engagement. The areas that we fall below average are issues that have been raised in the past. However, we still seem to be slower than other councils, council areas at affecting change within our district. Despite the above, it is not, I believe, all bad news, and I don't want to be a naysayer to the positive work that council is doing. This council is above average on both building and heating and waste reduction in food, so I think it's certain kudos to this department. Likewise, for the above-mentioned areas in which we are noted as being behind, I do think that some matters we possibly are doing, things that haven't been noted, are in the process of instigating measures which will address the shortcomings. Ultimately, where a council has a responsibility for an area in which we can mitigate against climate change, then we should have clear and demonstrable examples of where there is action being taken, including targets by which to evidence progress in said area. Where there is no direct responsibility for an area, then council should act as an enabler for external agencies and providers to explore what can be done. More recently, 9 points of sustainability considerations were included within the rate setting process. This is welcome, but it cannot be a tokenistic endeavour. Demonstrable targets need to be now placed on these so that progress and change on these matters can be documented. Chair, if I were to surmise the issues raised above in 2 quick bullet points, it would be these. This council needs to set targets by which they can track progress. These targets need to be easily understandable and accessible. The final point on review and reform of our political institutions admittedly goes beyond the remit of this council. However, it is relevant, I believe, in 2 matters. Number 1, this council has to implement some of the wider ranging and impactful mitigations against climate change, and Stormont needs to be up, running and effective. Stormont should not, in a matter of such importance, be stymied by a party, any party, as the knock-on effect for our citizens is too huge. The restoration of Stormont and the executive has seen an almost immediate desire to tackle some of the issues at hand. I would welcome the Minister for Economy, Conor Murphy, setting out his economic vision, in which he cited as critical the objective of reducing carbon emissions and the moral obligation to reach net zero by 2050. Similarly, the Minister for Deira, Mr Muir, can now progress its environment and green growth strategies. And as good as this is, we must acknowledge that we are 2 years behind where we could have been. Indeed, any future collapse, we'd risk undoing the work which still needs to be done. And it's relevant to the constituents which we represent. There's a demonstrable majority from a majority of parties that reform of Stormont institutions is desired. 63% of those polled wish to see reforms of the institutions. Regardless of polls, I'm sure many in this chamber have had the frustration of constituents for the lack of an executive passed on to them. Where review and reform are needed, how the executive is formed, change in the designation system, use of weighted majorities, and a voluntary approach to power sharing. Reform will only happen if leadership is shown by the UK and Irish governments as co-guarantors of the Good Friday Agreement and a willingness of all parties to embrace and drive forward this process. However, for the matter of this motion, I am content that this council simply communicates to the offices of those referenced in the motion that this council is supportive, that review and reform of the institutions of the Belfast Good Friday Agreement is needed and that this has commenced. I'm also conscious that the genesis of this motion was in somewhat darker month of December, in which it wasn't so clear as to whether Stormont was to be rebooted, and I, for one, am certainly glad it is. But if it is to be prevented from failing again, then the institutions need reformed for the good of our governance and the good of our planet. Chair, the recommendations in the office report merely ask for direction on how to progress matters raised in this motion. And I would suggest the following. The council engages with the Climate Action Scorecards and Climate Action UK to ascertain if works have been undertaken but not noted, identifies opportunities for future improvements in areas of sustainability and environment and places targets upon the 9 aspects of sustainability considerations as discussed during the rate setting progress, And finally, point four, write to the aforementioned in the motion expressing our support for the review and reform of the institutions of the Belfast Good Friday Agreement, commenced with the objective of stabilising devolved government from Stromont. I appreciate that points 3, 1 to 3 might require a wee bit more delegated working through the working group, such as Sustainability and Climate Change Working Group. And while it may not be a speedy process, it may provide an opportunity for specialist officers to also be in attendance in order to contribute. And I hope that item number 4 is agreeable to the other parties. And that's me, Chair. Thank you.
Dead on. Councillor McMurray, thanks very much for presenting your motion. And actually, 3 or 4 councillors have indicated they want to speak to your motion. So the first on the list is Councillor Henry Reilly. Henry, you wish to proceed? Comments? Sorry,
any
comments here? Go ahead, Henry.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chairman. Chairman, the entire United Kingdom is responsible for under 1% of greenhouse gas emissions. Human CO2 is about 0.65% of world output. And Councillor McMurray and the climate change activists, they want to penalise the people of Europe, the people of the United Kingdom, and really cut back on their quality of life. For what? For a tiny percentage of the overall emissions of greenhouse gases, and in particular CO2. And this is at a time whenever India and Chinese are actually opening 2 new coal-fired power stations every month on month. The populations of all those developing countries are buying more and more combustion engine cars. And it just doesn't add up to me that we will penalise our own people, put these carbon taxes on our people, increase electricity bills that affect the most vulnerable people in our society. For what? For what's the end goal? It just doesn't add up. And then I see Councillor McMurray wants reform the Stormont, you know, to bring about stability and devolved government. I never heard the Alliance Party going on the got whenever Sinn Féin collapsed the government for 3 years. But I'm thankful that the Assembly is now up and running because of the excellent agreement that Sir Geoffrey Donaldson got with the UK government and the EU, working in a positive, constructive fashion with both entities to try and get a better deal for our community. And if we had went into Stormont whenever the Alliance, the SDLP and the Ulster Unionists were crying from the rooftops, you have to get back in, there would have been no money. They would have been sitting around the table looking at each other saying, this is what we're going to have to cut. And it was Donaldson that got the deal that brought the money, as well as the reform of trading arrangements between here and the United Kingdom. So I think Councillor McMurray really should take a look at himself and his party and what they were, the claims they made and the abuse that they handed out to the DUP over that period, whenever the whole end game was to get a better deal on internal trade within the UK and get a financial package that would allow our MLAs to actually go to work. And just to also point out, Chairman, in terms of CO2, Hertz have actually announced that they're going to sell every single electric vehicle that they have. And they said analysis of their electric vehicles that they've operated over the last number of years, the whole of life cost of them is 2.5 times more than an equivalent diesel or petrol car. And the maintenance of them, the weight of them, the damage they do to roads and infrastructure, they're getting rid of them and they're going back to petrol or diesel. What does that tell you, Chairman? What does that actually tell you about the viability, long-term viability of electric vehicles? So we're penalising our own communities for absolutely no reason. And I think given the political aspect of Councillor McMurray's motion, that we'll be voting against it unless that's withdrawn, the aspect of political reform.
Thanks very much, Councillor Henry Reilly, for your words. Sorry, you were about to say something to Councillor Albion McGuire, whatever. No, I let Henry Reilly.
Oh,
sorry about that, sir.
Love you, Councillor. Completely strong.
No, thanks. No problem, thanks. I just wasn't sure. The next on the list to make a wee comment is Councillor David Taylor. David Conan.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I thought of it just talking about the motion. I thought it would just be talking about the contents of the motion, but I have to admire Henry's loyalty to Geoffrey and trying to sell the deal as best as he can for people in the perfect deal that it apparently is. But we all know there's flaws in it. And
I didn't sell it.
No, you were trying to try hard to sell it there, Henry. And the other thing is, the Old Unionist Party will never apologise for looking good governance in Northern Ireland. It's always been our ultimate aim, and that's been our aim throughout the existence of Northern Ireland, and particularly in recent years through the signing of the Good Friday Agreement. Again, it had its flaws like any agreement, but it was all about creating a better environment and better conditions for people in Northern Ireland and for the country to grow and flourish. And again, regarding the finance, and again, you can try and claim credit for it all, but I know that there were all the other parties were involved in the discussions that took place regarding that financial package as well. But listen, where we are with that. And I know, Scott, Henry, I'm well aware that discussions were going on long before that, but anyway, we'll deal with the motion in hand. I don't think our council could ever be accused of not taking the issue of climate change seriously. You know, we have set up working groups, we have looked at this matter in a very detailed way, and certainly trying within our constraints to deal with the issue of climate change as best we can. And there are implications for that on occasions, particularly from a financial point of view, and trying to meet the targets that have been outlined by the government. And from that aspect of the motion, I don't have an issue, Councillor McMurray, but and I think similar to concerns that Henry outlined about the political nature of it. You know, I'm conscious, again, that the institutions that are in place, they're not perfect, but there was obviously a delicate balance that was tried to be met whenever those institutions were initially established. And in calling for wholesale reform, there's also a danger in that you create bigger issues. So it's something that you need to tread carefully on. And the other issue that I would say is, you're making a request to write, for instance, the Secretary of State, the Shadow Secretary of State, and the Irish Republic's Minister for Foreign Affairs. I would just remind everybody that the internal workings of and governance of Northern Ireland is a strand one issue, and that's specifically for the UK government and parties within Northern Ireland. So on that basis as well, I couldn't support it because the government of the Irish Republic in terms of
Thank you very much, Councillor Taylor, and I must say, I'm enjoying it's a very interesting debate so far, and I'm now handing over to Councillor William Clark. Willie, you're very welcome to come
right. Thanks very much, Chair. I suppose the point that the previous two speakers made, we would have similar concerns about it as well. And I think it actually, you know, in the current context, with the executive up and running, the assembly up and running, it's up to the people, on these islands, to decide, how we're going to reform the institutions. That'll be done by the political parties, obviously, and the executive. The Irish government and the British government, there'll be a lot of discussion in regards to that. I doubt if a notice of motion coming during our district council is going to make a big difference to that. Yeah. So I think you're actually sort of muddying the waters. Annie, I spoke to you before the meeting. I have a concern about the political aspect at the end of the motion as well. So I propose I'm going to remove a section. So from considers that political instability hinders a transition to a greener economy and thus agrees to write to the Secretary of State for the North of Ireland, the Shadow Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, and the Irish Republic's Minister of Foreign Affairs to press the urgent need to reform the institutions of the Good Friday Agreement and accept the recommendations contained within the report of the Westminster's Northern Ireland Affairs Committee evaluating their effectiveness. So I propose we remove that. I'm just going to second it. I'm content with the rest of the motion. I spoke to the proposer of the motion, and I think it's important that we continually, you know, keep an eye on how the council's and also now the assembly's up and running. You know, we have to work, you know, hand in glove with the assembly what their targets are going to be in the future. You know, what resources are going to be made available. You know, for citizens as well as for local authorities to start achieving more, you know, benefits for climate and to mitigate the impacts of climate change. So moving forward, Andy, even the part of the motion that we're talking about, it, you know, it crosses a number of departments in the Assembly as well. It's DFA, it's DERA. Obviously, the economy would have a say in that also. You know, so there's a number of departments within the executive, a number of ministers will have a say in regards to how we meet our targets or we move towards meeting our targets. And despite what Henry says in regards to we shouldn't bother doing anything, we should just continue on as we are. But even, you know, from a, you know, even cost and resources, You know, recycling is very important. You know, it's actually saving this council money, recycling, under the current British taxation and landfill. And I understand Henry wants to be closely associated with Westminster and everything they do in Britain does. But when Britain sets targets and sets these taxes, Henry sort of said, no, I don't agree with that bit of it. No, we do our own thing over here. And that, I had the same experience when I was in the Assembly, talking to the Environment Minister. This is well over a decade, 15 years ago. And it's the same sort of talk. We were asking for, you know, to tackle climate change on an all-island basis. The Minister and colleagues just laughed in regards to that. Weren't taking it serious at all. And I think the proven science is that the climate emergency has happened. You know, we can bury our head in the sand and say it's nothing to us. It's the poorer countries who are doing this, or the evolving countries who are doing this. But despite the industrial revolution here that happened here, where, you know, a lot of, you know, carbon emissions and that built up from that period of time, and developing cars and all that sort of stuff. So if that's the DUP position, that's fair enough. Then we know it's going to be an interesting example, I'd imagine, when we talk this topic. But from the council's perspective, we need to probably get a paper brought back in regards to, you know, what we are achieving, what we are doing, you know, through the sustainability strategy. We look at the tree strategy. There's work going on now in regards to, I know council's involved in that, about carbon storage, re-wetting peatlands, that type of work. Is beginning to happen here at last. So we needed some sort of a benchmark where we're at. It's okay saying councils and figures and whatever, but where we're at, what we've achieved, what we will achieve short term, medium term, long term. I think that's the type of paper we need, almost with a traffic light system where, you know, as we're approaching the targets, what we could do more. You know, we look at the solar panels, and I know Councillor Enright's talked about this as well, about, you know, solar farms, that type of stuff. You know, and any opportunities we have. I know in the community planning process, I had originally wanted us to have our own Green New Deal in that and look at retrofitting houses throughout the district, you know, on a gradual basis. And that sort of came from the direction from the executive, then I think we could dovetail into that and start making them changes. Because retrofitting will provide jobs, you know, clean, green jobs for the future, while other jobs are, you know, through artificial intelligence or whatever, will be reducing in certain times. I think there's an opportunity for green jobs in the future, and I think that is part of the focus. It's just not about the landscape and stuff like that. It's about people's economy and doing things sustainably moving forward. So I sort of leave it at that. But just ask a question maybe for the officer in regards to best practice, you know, from councils and sharing that experience. Is that happening now? Is my question. Thanks, Clark.
Thanks very much, Councillor Clark. And thanks, Una, you've put in the chat that you're going to second Councillor Clark's amendment. So, Henry, you're back in with a comment again.
Yes, Chairman. That we want.
Sorry about that. I got distracted. I'll let you in, Henry. Cadogan, Henry, he's been waiting.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I'll let you in after Cadogan.
Thanks, Chair. Well, let me contribute to the debate. I think it's important that those councillors who have some knowledge of the green economy need to shine a light both on our council and on what I can only call misinformation, some of which we've heard tonight about the future and the state of the economy. I mean, going from the particular to the general, and if you look at the agenda tonight, point 11, where we're proposing to spend £30,000 on new fuel pumps in Greenbank.
Mr. Henry, now, there's information. Sorry, there's information that was in committee. You can't.
I won't mention the commercial aspects of it, Chair.
But they don't. But just.
I won't mention the commercial aspects.
Or else we'll go into committee then if you want to go down that path.
Nevertheless. The meeting before last, we did discuss the whole area of electric cars, electric vehicles. And we agreed that Downpatrick would have small vans because they were cheaper to operate than diesel vans. And we said we were struggling with the depot in Greenbank because we had nowhere to plug in electric vehicles there. And therefore, we were thinking about having the fleet renewed with diesel down there because we had nowhere to plug them in. And yet we have a proposal here later on tonight to renew our fuel pumps instead of perhaps installing plugs to put electric vehicles in Newry the same as they're going to be in Downpatrick. I'm just saying, Chair, we in council need to keep vigilant ourselves. But to pick up anyway on...
Mr. Henry, just a second to see that we agenda item later on, whenever all that's on for discussion. If you want to hold fire at the moment and then come back in later on at that agenda item, and then you'll be able to elaborate further if you want to on a cause of concern to you, if you don't mind.
No, Chair, I'm trying to make a general point using a specific example. I won't refer to it again if it's upsetting you. But we do find... Can I finish my point, Chair?
Yes, sorry, Councillor Enright. It's just the problem is that the point that you're trying to make is something that's in closed session. So
yes, but I'm not mentioning the commercial aspects of it, Chair.
Yes, but even the fact that you're discussing bits that are in closed session...
Well, I will move off that point to go on to my next point, Chair, if you'll let me.
Just go ahead, but as long as you stay within the confines of the agenda item and the motion, please.
So what I'm saying is we need to be vigilant about what we're doing because it's easy to pass motions but then take no action. And I know that we finally have some items mentioned in the strategic finance document looking forward for where we can get extra income and savings in future. And it's taken 4 odd years from us to get to that point, Chair. In February of this year, from October of 2019, when we first passed the motion for climate change action. But talking in general, looking at what, say, Henry Riley was saying, one of the difficulties we have is misinformation is bandied about, particularly about foreign countries, comparing them to the UK. Now, I will say that for all China's faults, last month, near Beijing, a PV and battery farm opened up capable of supplying 400,000 houses. It's the biggest PV and battery farm in the world. Last year, China installed more PV farms in terms of their capacity than the entire Western nations put together in their historical context in 1 year. Diesel buses have been banned out of Chinese cities for a number of years. And China is actually building its future economy on the green economy, on electrified vehicles, on renewable energy. And the reason why they're doing it is because it provides cheaper energy prices, Henry. There hasn't been a coal-powered station built in the last 10 years in the United States, not because of their ban, it's because the renewable energy is massively cheaper. No one wants to buy energy anymore from coal-fired power stations. So the green economy is going to look different. It's going to provide cheaper prices for consumers. It's going to provide a better atmosphere for us to breathe in our cities, as has happened in Beijing. And the world will be a better place for ordinary consumers. And in our district of Nuneaton and Down, people will be keeping their money local because they'll be buying energy from their local farmers, from their local businesses, and not from Putin or from Saudi Arabia the way we do at the moment. Keeping it local, and it'll be cheaper. So if we can counteract the misinformation, Henry, and get the UK copying perhaps what dictatorships like China are doing in terms of their economy, perhaps the economy of the UK might be looking a little more rosy. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Councillor Renner, for your contribution. Henry, Chief, I'll let you in after Councillor Finn, if that's okay. Gary?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I suppose just a couple of points, firstly, to thank Andy for bringing this motion, and I think it is really important. Climate change is something that I am particularly passionate about, and I think looking at what the work that the Council have done, it is really good to see that lots of actions have been taken, particularly it is really good to see that waste reduction and food, and I see this week the Council have launched a new social media campaign, which is really great to see, and I think that is something that we should be proud of ourselves. In relation, I suppose, to the points made by Henry and Cadogan, I think we do have a responsibility to look at what we are doing ourselves. So while it is, you know, all very well and good that China are doing all the things they're doing, I think we do sometimes need to look at it with the eyes of there's not really any small parts, only small actors, which is why on something that is such an important issue, we should be doing as much as we can. In relation to the third point of the motion, I think everybody's welcome that Stormont is back, and I think it is really important that we see a stable political system here, and we've been without government for a number of years over the past decade, which, you know, is unacceptable. And I think Andy is right to say that the instability does hinder our capacity to make real action on climate change. In relation to that, I would like to propose an amendment to that section to which we write to the Office of the First Minister and Deputy First Minister to ask that they pledge that they aren't going to collapse the institutions again. I think we have seen great things from both our First and Deputy First Minister, and it would be a really good commitment that we could even write to them to see would that be possible. Along with that, I think given that we have ministers back in place within the Assembly and the Executive, we should be writing to ministers such as the DERA Minister and the Economy Minister, because I know certainly even in reading some of the things that come out of the Assembly, both of those ministers are doing a really good job and want to see transitions made to you know, the issues that we have with climate change here, and Councillor Fagan will be second in that. So thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. And as I say, I'm going to hand over here to
the Chair.
Sorry, go ahead.
Just a point of order. Do you have to take the First Amendment first before you take another amendment?
Yeah. You see, I was going to ask Councillor McMurray.
Yeah, Chairman, it was just from what Lily said about, you know, we want to do nothing. That's not the case. It makes sense to be as economical as possible in how you use energy. That's just common sense. But Chairman, the rules that are coming out of Westminster, they are originated in Brussels. But even though we're out of the EU, we're still following them for some crazy reason. And the only good thing is that our farmers haven't been burdened as much as EU farmers. And if you take a look at what's happening in the Republic of Ireland, 300,000 dairy cows they want to cull off to save the planet. Irish farmers are up in arms at the minute. French, Paris has blockaded, Berlin's blockaded, Athens has blockaded. Nearly every country in Europe, the farmers are up in arms because of this net zero crazy policy that the governments of Europe want to impose on the farming community. And Chairman, if they get what they want, there will be food shortages across Europe. Food shortages now, that's what they want to impose on the people of Europe. The World Economic Forum, this Klaus Schwab guy, he's demanding that European countries implement 100% net zero. And to supplement food sources, they're talking about feeding us bugs, actual bugs. Google it, look it up, it's there, black and white. Like, people's not going to put up with that. And I'm pleased to see the farmers in Ireland and Europe actually objecting, and hopefully they'll do the same up here and in the mainland.
Thanks very much, Councillor Reddy. And Councillor Truesdale for comment.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say to Councillor Riley in particular that throwing out these numbers and statistics as if they're actual fact is so dangerous. And I think it was Councillor Finn that said we have a responsibility here, and we do have a responsibility. And these meetings are audioed, so they're available to the public. And just to throw out these stats with no evidence whatsoever, it's getting a bit ridiculous. The UK is the fifth biggest historic emitter in the world. And I think maybe Councillor Clark said this. It's because the UK was the birthplace of the Industrial Revolution. So all those carbon emissions are still in the atmosphere. But the thing is, with climate change, you don't have to understand it, but you do have to believe it, because you can see it happening all around you, and there's no disputing that fact. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Truesdale. So then we now move. I forgot to start to ask for within the committee for a proposer and a seconder for Councillor McMurray's motion as it was presented. So I need a proposer and a seconder. You put that into the chat for the original motion. We've got a proposer by Councillor Truesdale and a seconder by Councillor Enright. So that's the original motion seconded. So Councillor Clark has tabled an amendment seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Do you, Andy, accept the amendment that's suggested by Councillor Clark? And then I know Councillor Finn had tabled the amendment as well, so I'll hand back to you.
It's not quite on the same level as what's going on at Westminster, I think, this evening, but it feels sort of half close to it, so it does. we go through the amendments here, but I'm just conscious as well that the officer's recommendations was to try and get direction here, if that makes sense. So I'm kind of conscious as well that I've made points in speaking to the motion, if that makes sense, is about how to, that's what the officers are asking for, is directions. So, do we need that to be taken into consideration too, Chair?
I think out of the action I've suggested, that maybe it's factored in as well. That through the motion, you've asked for officers to go away and do something, but I think more at the moment, there's amendments here proposed, and then just saying, look upstairs from yourself as yeah. before
okay,
we no, do
that, proceed. That's, to intent, if what I'm speaking to is to be considered as a direction. Do I need to sum up yet, or do I just go
with amendments?
We need to deal with amendments.
With amendments, that's right, no worries. Well, look,
do you accept them both?
I don't have to harm the cancer card.
I'm sorry,
Willie,
can you just turn yourself?
Yeah. I appreciate Councillor Clark's conversations both in the chamber and just before the chamber, but I'm afraid I'm not minded to accept the Sinn Féin amendment. I can acquiesce to the.
I'm going to have to deal with first here. So, we're now going to proceed.
Well,
There's no unanimity in the chamber. I'm going to proceed to a roll call vote on the amendment. Go ahead, David. Yes, please. Dead on. Thank you.
So I think it was everything down to the last paragraph, essentially, to consider political instability. That's all to be taken out. And that a report be brought back on what council are actually doing with benchmarks as to where we're at. Okay, is everybody content with that?
Just to proceed to roll call.
Hey, Councillor Andrew.
Against. Oh, sorry, clarification.
Sorry, I just read it out.
So I'll put it in the chat there,
and it's also then that a report to be brought on what the council are doing to include benchmarks of where the council is at currently.
Okay, against the amendment.
Okay, Councillor Clark.
For.
Councillor Enright.
Against.
Councillor Feehan.
Against.
Councillor Finn.
Against.
Councillor Jackson.
Abstain.
Councillor Kearns.
For.
Councillor Larkin.
For.
Councillor McGuinness.
For.
Councillor McAvoy's absent. Councillor Murphy.
For.
Councillor Riley.
Abstain.
Councillor Wright.
For.
Councillor Taylor.
For.
Councillor Truesdale.
Against.
Okay, so I have 7 for, 5 against, and 2 abstentions, so that's carried then.
And then in relation to Councillor Finn's amendment in regards to writing, are you happy enough to accept that?
I'm happy enough.
Well, there's a bit of a procedure
so,
here.
Now that Councillor Clark, it now becomes a substantive motion, so any other amendments are to that motion, as opposed to Councillor McMurray's motion. Councillor Clark has to accept the amendment from Councillor Finn to write the
whatever
I have.
Put it in the chat.
It's a wee bit like a tennis match, you know.
Oh, I'm glad you
didn't.
No sound here at home, Chair.
No, we're very quiet here at the minute, Cadogan. So we are. Just a lot of thinking going on. That's okay. Councillor Clark. So then we'll have to go to a roll call vote regarding Councillor Finn's amendment. So.
Councillor Andrews.
For.
Councillor Clark.
Against.
Councillor Enright.
For the amendment.
Yes,
Four.
Councillor Feehan.
Four.
Councillor Finn.
Four.
Councillor Jackson.
Against.
Councillor Kearns.
Against.
Councillor Larkin.
Against.
Councillor McGuinness.
Against.
Councillor McAvoy is absent. Councillor Murphy?
Against.
Councillor Riley?
Against.
Councillor Rice?
Against.
Councillor Taylor?
Abstain.
Councillor Truesdale?
Four.
Okay, so I have 5-4-8 against and 1 abstention.
And the amendment falls in, so then we'll proceed with the amended motion. Okay, and thanks very much, everybody. It was what they call it. So go ahead, Councillor McMurray, just sum up, please.
Just what do you want to say? I wouldn't normally be so take the opportunity to sum up, but you know, I think it's important. Listen, just to address, you know, I think some of them have been, Councillor Riley's points have been made, but I do think it's sort of slightly ironic that we argue about taking back sovereignty, but just that seems to be us all taking responsibility, especially for our impact on the climate. But there you go. And certainly, you know, it's, you know, we want to see a just transition rather than just sort of a, you know, a showboat transition. So there you go. And, you know, as regards the reform of Stormont, I know that's sort of fallen, but, you know, yes, we did, but maybe you weren't listening, but that's okay, that's not a problem. And truthfully, I think there has been a bit slight
know, missing of the point in some regards there. Councillor Taylor, thank you again for your keeping it to the motion, and I do appreciate that. Just moving on to a few things, you know, again, I thank Councillor Clark for ultimately supporting the sort of the environmental point of view and sustainability and stuff like that, but it is concerning that, you know, we all know that Stormont has been down for so long and for such a time, and to say that it's this, you know, reform of Stormont irrelevant, well, you know, we see the state Loch Ness is in. I mean, there's no blooming flies in the thing anymore. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's the point. That, I mean, we have had this down. As soon as Stormont has come back up, we have... I have paid tribute to other ministers, but, you know, with the Minister for Deira stepping up to try and chair where that can be, you know, rectified, you know, and so I appreciate that. And again, I thank the SDLP for their support and intervention. And, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chris McMurray, and I'll hand over to Andrew here on behalf of the officers to sum up from their perspective. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just to pick up on a few of the comments that were made during that interesting debate. One of the things I think was Councillor Clark raised was about interchangeability of information between councils. And just to make the point that you'll have heard of an organisation called Sustainable Northern Ireland, which facilitates councils in terms of their duty of sustainability. And that has a forum which meets every quarter of the officers from the 11 councils, and that does assist in learning from other people. Absolutely, there was a comment made about our responsibility, which is absolutely would support. In terms of the climate action scorecards, and this is really just for information, that the information that those figures were based on was from the 1st of January 2019 up to the 31st of March 2023. So there have been things happen since the 31st of March 2023. I think somebody already mentioned the Council's tree strategy, the Biodiversity Action Plan, the fact of working on a sustainability strategy, which is nearing completion. Those sort of things have been going on since March 2023. So one would hope that in a future iteration of these scorecard figures that there is some upward movement. Again, I just want to make a comment that climate change clearly, from whether it's a council perspective or a Stormont perspective, is cross-cutting across all departments. It's not simply a responsibility of one department or one area or one directorate. And picking up on a comment as previously, a comment was made, I think, by Councillor Enright. We have a draft paper prepared, which we'll bring forward to the March committee in relation to the use of two of the council's former landfill sites in relation to potential photovoltaic farms and battery storage, which was almost ready for this committee, but we'll come to the next one. So again, hopefully members will be able to pick up on the sort of cost-benefit side of things in terms of those projects being viable and how long they take to pay back, etc. That's just what there's just a few comments I wanted to make, Chair. Thank you.
Dead on, Andrew. Thank you very much for those, and very much appreciated. So with that, item of business being dispensed with, we now move on to agenda item number 5. Which is around the Private Tenancies Act 2022 and fixed penalty notices. So I'm going to hand over to Sinead Murphy to give members present and on screen a bit of a background to the paper and the recommendations of the course of action that we need to take. Sinead, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. So this report is for decision, and the purpose of the report is to provide, firstly, an update to the committee regarding the smoke, heat and carbon monoxide alarm regulations and the electrical safety standard regulations that are part of the new provisions contained within the Private Tenancies Act Northern Ireland 2022, and to approve the proposed levels for the fixed penalty fine for the offences created under the smoke, heat and carbon monoxide alarm regulations. Members are requested to note that the fixed penalty level offence for the electrical safety standard regulations will be brought to committee at a later date when the legislation is enacted. The Private Tenancies Act came into effect on the 1st of April 2023 for the provisions that are noted in the report. The Act creates new offences for which the Council will have powers to issue fixed penalty notices, and the regulations propose a maximum fixed penalty of £500 for offences relating to the land and £1,000 for the electrical safety standards. Details of the requirements, the smoke, heat and carbon monoxide alarm regulations are detailed in the report, and these regulations are now in place. It's proposed that the fixed penalty level offence is set by the Council at £500. Details of the electrical safety standard regulations are outlined in section 2.6 of the report, and these regulations have been paused awaiting the Northern Ireland Assembly to progress them. It's proposed that a further report will be brought to committee at a later date to fix the fixed penalty level when the legislation is enacted. Members are asked to note the resource implications that the regulations will provide councils with additional enforcement powers to deal with the issues in the private rented sector, but they will also place additional resource demands on our existing resources. There is no additional financial support available to assist councils with these powers. Fixed penalty regime will provide some income, but it will not cover the additional staff and administrative resources required. So members are asked to note the new legislative powers to be enforced by councils in relation to the private rented sector regarding the two regulations, and to approve the proposed level for the fixed penalty fine for the offence created under the smoke, heat and carbon monoxide alarm regulations in Northern Ireland as outlined in section 2.5 of the report.
Thanks very much, Nate, for that report. And it's been proposed by councillors Kit Murphy has proposed, and Councillor Geraldine Kearns has seconded, and Councillor Clark, some of the wee comment. Go ahead, Willie.
Yeah, Chair, just very briefly, just to say that this will make families' homes much safer from fire, smoke and carbon monoxide. So it's been to be welcome. From that point of view, Chair, in regards to inspections into wiring as well every 5 years, I think that's an important aspect as well. And the lead-in period as well, then, for the owners, it's important to get the house in order. Excuse the pun. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Clark. I'm not sure what the background noise was there. I thought it was a few drums going or something, but unless cars backfired or something. thank you very much. Councillor Kit Murphy, go ahead, Kit. You're very welcome.
Hi, thanks, Chair. No, just to say, having lived in private rentals for over 20 years, was not always good landlords. It's a very welcome thing, definitely, because landlords don't get held to account often enough for the state of some houses.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Good on, Kate. Thank you very much for that. And if there's no further comments or any issues, the paper's been adopted. So we'll move on to agenda item number 6. Sorry, go ahead, Willie. Go ahead.
You see, in an issue where there's persistent mould,
where
there's persistent mould in a wall, is there any fines or anything that can be handed out to a landlord if there's been a lot of complaints about it from the tenant?
I'll get you to come back into it for that, Henry.
Yes, sure, I can come back in on that. So there's not fixed penalty notices for that sort of situation under any of the housing regulations as it currently stands. If there is an issue with mould or damp in a house, it can be reported through to the environmental health team, and one of the officers who deal with public health and housing can assess the damp, the source of the damp, and work through those regulations in trying to get that resolved with the landlord. There are different penalties under the regulations, and it can go as far as court action if a landlord isn't remedying such things.
Thanks very much, Ed. Thank you very much, Councillor Reddy. Then we're moving on to agenda item number 6. As I said, it's the home to hospital schemes for the Mourns and Sleat Gullion DEAs. So in the chat we have a proposal from Councillor Taylor, seconded by Councillor Rice, and Councillor Taylor's in my wee comment.
Yes, Chair, thank you. Chair, very, very happy to support
the recommendations included in this report. I've had the opportunity in recent years to talk to people that have both volunteered and that have benefited from this scheme, and you know, it's very clear that it's vital to many people that are, you know, have been provided support from it. So, and it shows all that's good about our community, that people are willing to take time out of their own schedules to provide support to others. So, I think it's a good thing that we're looking to continue this. And again, I think obviously looking at the recommendations and potentially expanding it into other areas. My own DEA, in terms of Slade Cullion, obviously benefits from it, as do the Mourns. But if we can stretch that type of support into other areas within the district, it would certainly be very welcome, I think. So more than happy to support the proposals contained in the report.
Yeah, thanks very much, David. I know I jumped away. Sinead didn't get the chance of presenting the report, but I hope that if you don't mind, Sinead, if you want to present the report now, or you can wait to the other speakers, and then you've probably picked up on some of the points that they've said in their contributions.
Sure, I'm happy to take the report as read.
Yeah.
I noticed Sinead looking at me when I was speaking. I said, have I said something wrong? Was I talking about something I shouldn't have been talking about?
Well, that's a good one. Thanks, Sinead, for doing that. So we're next on the list after David Taylor is Councillor Mickey Larkin. Go ahead, Mickey. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. I just wondered, did Michael Rice want... wish to...
He's
doing up us. I see. All right, thanks very much, Chair. Chair, I welcome the continued support from the Council in relation to this scheme. It's obvious from the uptake within Slieve Cullion and the Mourns that service is valued by the residents, and it's obviously a needed, very much needed service. There's a number of aspects perhaps that we don't and didn't realise in relation to it, and it's mentioned in point 2.3 in relation to additional supports such as home safety, the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service, and interaction with social groups and activities, and that's obviously a valuable aspect of the scheme. Also, too, I think it should be noted that for every hospital appointment that is missed, there's a cost to the NHS, and it's, you know, it's to be welcomed that this council works, whatever way it can, to ensure that the NHS is as much help as we can give. You know, so thanks very much, and I welcome it and support it.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Councillor Larkin and Councillor Michael Rice. Michael.
Thanks, Chair. Just to keep it brief, that I'm just happy to second this welcome investment to the home to hospital scheme, which is obviously so vitally important to us here in the morning. So thanks very much. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Councillor Rice. Councillor Henry Riley, for a wee comment.
Yes, Chairman. I welcome this valued service. And if you try to get a bus from Annalyn to the Ulster Hospital or the Lavin Hospital, it's five changes, believe it or not. So it's nearly impossible. And if you are an elderly person, you bring your car up to Craigavon Hospital, there's no guarantee you're going to get a park. And you could be parked halfway down in the Port of Down. So it's a very, very worthwhile service. And I think it's important also that people that could avail of it know about it. You know, I think that's very important. I'm sure most people do, but it's important that everybody who could avail of it is familiar with it and the service that it can provide. So thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Councillor Riley. Councillor Kellyanne Feehan. Kellyanne, go ahead.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, so I'll keep it brief. Very happy to support. Just echoing the point that Councillor Larkin had made about the sort of hidden cost of missed hospital appointments, I'm just noting the disparity in uptake between Mourns and Slieve Cullion, and maybe just an inquiry as to what the Council might be able to do to promote this service. The only guess I could have there was that the uptake in Slieve Cullion was lower maybe because of a lack of awareness. And I had a scan of the paper and I couldn't see anything around boosting awareness. So maybe if that's something that could be considered in a cost-effective manner, using obviously social media as a first call. But as I say, very happy to support this.
Thank you very much, Kellyanne. And since no further members wish to speak, and it's already been proposed and seconded, and it's carried unanimously, and I would like to concur with the comments of the previous speakers. It's such a vital service in rural areas, and congratulations to all involved. and thanks for raising the point. So we move on now to agenda item number 7, and that's the refuse collection and recycling centre arrangements for public holidays for 24 and the year 25. So I'm hand back to you, Sinead, to give us an update. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. This report is for decision, and the purpose of the report is to seek approval for the service provisions on public holidays applying to the 2024-25 financial year. So the public holidays have been reviewed alongside operational provision for refuse collection services and household recycling centres. In Appendix 1 of the report, the proposed operational arrangements and schedule is outlined, with alternative arrangement dates highlighted in the table in the report for Christmas 2024 and New Year's Day 2025. Members will recall that in March 2023, they approved the publication of individual household bin collection calendars for residents online, and this has been very successful, with only 77 requests from 73,156 households for an individually printed and posted copy. So members are asked to approve the alternative refuse collection services and opening arrangements for household recycling centres and public holidays applying to 2024-25 financial year. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Sinead. Are members happy with the paper and the recommendations that have been laid out? If members want to put the chat box, our proposer and seconder, but while you're doing that, I'll ask Andrew to come in and give a response as well.
Sorry, Chair, I just wanted to make members aware that these arrangements have already been agreed with the trade unions.
Thanks very much for that update. So we have a proposal on item 7 from Councillor Murphy, and she's proposed and Councillor Flynn has seconded. And thanks very much. So we'll move on to agenda item number 8, is the waste and environmental health charges. And Shane, it's back to you again. You're working very hard to see them with the reports. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. And this report is for decision. And the purpose of the report is to seek committee approval for the charges applied to the environment section for various supplies and services. In section 2.1, it's laid out the waste management charges to a number of different services that are currently applied. And the current charging structure has been reviewed and a 6% increase has been applied. And the full details of the proposed price and structure for 24-25 is detailed in Appendix 1. I just want to bring to members' attention that the price for a 140-litre bin, a blue and a brown bin, we're going to align those prices both to £21, as we are trying to encourage recycling into both the blue and the brown bins. Section 2.2 outlines some environmental health charges that, on request, environmental health officers issue ship sanitation exemption and control certificates to shipping vessels. And as a corporate member of the Association of Port Health Authorities, it is proposed that the Council apply the revised charges structure the Association recommends, as outlined in 2.2 of the report. So members are asked to, and just a slight amendment, approve the proposed waste management services scale of charges for 24-25 and the ship sanitation inspection charges set out in section 2.2 of the report. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Sinead, for your report and presentation. And Councillor Truesdale has made a proposal and she also has a question. So if you want to come in, Jill, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to ask, with any increase in charges, I feel that you will probably see an increase in illegal dumping, fly tipping, etc. So I was just wondering, what are the Council's plans to offset that side of things? And also, just what you said about blue bins there, to encourage people to blue bins, recycle into their blue bins. Council used to do, I'm pretty sure, like a reward once a month programme for the best blue bin recycler. And it was very good positive reinforcement to get people to recycle properly into their blue bins. Is there any plans to bring that back? Thank you.
Thanks so much, President. Councillor Truesdale.
In relation to fly tipping, the council would propose to continue in terms of the enforcement action with the enforcement team the council have. We have we're working on an enforcement improvement strategy, and that will be encompassing all areas of enforcement. The award scheme is something, again, that we'll be looking at reintroducing, and I recall that was brought up at the fencing and refuse working group, so that's something that is on our agenda to revisit.
Thanks very much, Sinead. Jill, I hope that reply will answer your question. Any further comments or and we need a seconder as well? We're on the chat, please. Everybody's
seconded.
I'll tell you what, I'll second it by Curtin McGuinness to come to the rescue. Thank you very much. And we'll move on to agenda item number nine, and that's the revision of facility management charges for the financial year 24-25. So, Conor, it's over to you.
Thank you, Chair. The purpose of this report is to recommend an increase to the current charges for services provided by the facilities management section within council. The charges applied to council's burial service and markets were last updated at the beginning of financial year 23-24. It is proposed to apply a 10% increase to all charges, which is in line with rate increase for financial year 24-25. And the details of this really are contained within Appendix 1 in the report. So councillors are asked to note the contents of this report and approve the application of a 10% increase to FM charges for 24-25. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Conor. Are members happy enough, or have they any questions or queries that they'd like to raise? So, Councillor Finn, you're in with a wee comment.
Yes, actually, sorry, it's a question. It's just in relation to the charges for Newry Market, and I suppose just to ask why they are quite a bit higher than the other facilities. I know certainly from speaking with traders, they would have said that they were high enough as is, and I just wanted to get a wee bit of clarity on that, if possible.
If I could just take that question, I'll reply back, if that's okay. Thank you.
Are you happy enough, Derek, with that? They also reply to you directly. So, is there any further comments or questions on this agenda item? And could I have a proposer and seconder in the tab, please? Thank you. Mr. Clark has proposed a seconder. And Councillor Kit Murphy seconded. Thank you very much. And so we move on to our next agenda item. We're moving into committee now, and I'll read out the small print here. Items 10 to 16 are deemed to be examined under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014, information relating to the financial or business affairs of any protected person, including the council, holding that information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. So could I ask for a proposer and seconder to go into closed session, please? Got proposed by Councillor McGuinness and seconded by Councillor McLaughlin. So we're ready to close. Thanks very much. Members, just whilst in committee, the following items were agreed. Item 10 on the agenda was the business case, should I say, for minor construction works. It was agreed that on the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Clark, to note the content of the report and accept the conclusion of the business case that the Council proceed with option 3 as outlined in the officer's report. Agenda item number 11, business case for upgrade to fuel pumps and vehicle wash at Greenbank Depot. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Larkin, seconded by Councillor Murphy, to note the contents of the report and that committee approve the recommendations contained within the business case attached to the officer's report. Agenda item number 12 was the single tender action extension, and it was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Kearns, seconded by Councillor Murphy, to approve the extension of the STAs as outlined in section 2.1 of the officer's report.
Item 13 is the STA for additional repairs to Christmas illuminations. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Kern, seconded by Councillor Larkin, to approve a second STA to cover all outstanding costs associated with Christmas illuminations 2023. Agenda item number 14 is the recycling of paper at household recycling centres. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Larkin, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, that Council avail of the Bring Bank Servicing Contract Law 3, mixed paper via ARC21 at Downpatrick, Newry, Warren Point, Kilkeel, Camla, Cross the Glen and Newton Hamilton HRC sites from the 1st of April 2024. Item 15 was the action sheet and presentation from the Cleansing and Refuge Task Group on the 24th of January 2024. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor McGuinness, seconded by Councillor Murphy, to note the action sheet and presentation of the Cleansing and Refuge Task Force. Item 16, ARC 21, Joint Committee Members' Monthly Bulletin, held on the 25th of January 2024, and in committee minutes of Tuesday, the 5th of December 2023. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor McGuinness and seconded by Councillor Murphy to note the documents. That's what were the items that was dealt in committee. And all we have really on the last, item 17, is the ARC 21 Joint Committee meeting minutes of the 5th of December. So if I have a proposer, and I don't really think we need a proposer for noting. Well, it's proposed by Councillor Truesdale and a seconder by Councillor McGuinness. Again, thanks very much for everybody in the chamber for coming along safe home, and to all online, have a good evening, and thanks for joining in. Bye.
Thank you.